the CCTA wake-up call. Sorry that you weren't here for the last few minutes. We're trying to get the place back under control, but folks, again, welcome. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And we have Marilyn with us.
As a guest.
By the way, you can chime in anytime and tell us how it was supposed to be. So
back in the day.
Well, you can't say that without saying that Miss Marilyn is 96, soon to be 97 years old.
So she can tell us back in the day.
Very good.
And in good health.
That's good.
Where are we going?
We're going to start out with the presidential race has taken a new turn as candidate Kamala Harris has announced her running mate, Tim Walz. He's from Minnesota. He's the governor. And some of the things that he has done as governor
are horrific.
Well, yeah.
He's a socialist communist.
June report from Minnesota's legislative auditor found that Walz's administration failed miserably in its duty to properly oversee millions of federal dollars it administered to nonprofits to feed children. The report said that his alleged incompetence created opportunities for fraud. He signed legislation to allow minors to get sex change operations.
And there's no age limit.
And required schools to stock Tampax machines in boys' bathrooms.
And since he's been governor, they've had lower growth, higher crime, more migrants, and, like you said, the trans surgery for children.
Not only that, but there's no age limit or no gestation time for his abortion legislation. Yeah. So you can have one right up to the end.
Now remember, we're nonpartisan here, but we're all conservatives. So just to understand that the stance that we are taking and the things that we're talking about are taken from a conservative stance, not a Republican or Democrat stance.
Yes. Now, he's given free college tuition to illegal immigrants. He has signed a bill that will give driver's license to potentially 77,000 illegal aliens. He opened.
Mary, before you get off of that one, you know, in this state of North Carolina, I believe to get on the road, not to have a driver's license, but to get on the road, you have to have insurance, supposedly. Insurance is supposed to be required. All of these illegals, do they have the funds to get insurance, or do we have to pay for their insurance?
Hey, back up a step. I'm wondering how they get car loans. They drive better cars than we do.
Well, because you're not required to check their financial background. You can't use their Social Security number that they don't have.
Weren't they getting the prepaid Visa cards along with their free phones and food stamps?
New York.
Well, who knows where else they're getting it.
But the other part in his past was when all of the civil unrest was happening in Minnesota from the Black Lives Matter effort. That's when he and Kamala first became partners. You know, he was letting them riot for 3 days. Didn't want the
National Guard in.
And Kamala was figuring out how to bail those rioters out. So that was their first union.
And he also said it was ageism for Americans to be concerned about Biden's fitness for office. Heritage Action gave him a lifetime score as a radical member of the House of Representatives of 13%.
Now, he is known to be to the left of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I don't know if he claims that he's a socialist, but he definitely is.
It was Bernie and then Kamala, the two most liberal. She was 100% liberal, most liberal member, and they're scrubbing that off the internet.
Yes.
Yes. He was in a different category since he was a governor, but before that he was in the House.
Right.
He wasn't a senator, though.
Yeah, he was in the House.
Yeah. He was.
And they probably scrubbed that by now.
However, that one state is still the constitutional carry, the first constitutional carry state.
I didn't know that.
Vermont was the first constitutional carry state.
Well, apparently, I read this morning, they came out the first rally with Tim Walz and Kamala. They came out pushing the idea that they're going to get rid of AR-15s.
Was that said during that rally?
Yeah.
Because I understood that Kamala was walking that back, that she was going to collect the guns. I mean, pay you for those guns, not by your choice, but would at least compensate you for the guns they take from you.
And this is where you ask the question, have any of these people read the Constitution?
I don't think so.
And I just wonder now, okay, let's for the sake of argument say that we have 4 years of Kamala Walz. Is that 4 more years of Bidenomics under a new name?
Worse. She can't even explain inflation.
Oh, but I'm sure she could explain it as well as she described the cloud.
But now here we are.
We're
actually the week before the Democrat convention, or are we 2 weeks before them?
August 17th.
So we're coming up on it. Then we're going to be airing August 10th, which is the Saturday. So there, then the next week they will be at their convention. In theory, we have to find out what their positions are, what their campaign positions are.
Platform.
The platform.
Well, they're rewriting everything. So they used to be anti-fracking, so I'm sure we'll hear something about that. They were anti-fracking and they were anti-gun. But from what I hear from Nancy Pelosi, Walz is the most moderate guy ever. He's right down the middle.
He's Mr. America. He's by no means progressive or liberal.
Well, I watched some of the rollout with the rally where he was introduced and they were together. And she was touting his military career. And very little research, and it doesn't take much, you find out that he was in the National Guard for many years, 20 plus years.
24.
And left pretty much when he found out his unit was headed for Iraq. Now, I would be careful if I were him about touting my military service, knowing that that was out there.
When your ego is bigger than the truth, it doesn't seem to matter. I mean,
the mainstream media won't report that.
Biden got away with that stuff for years.
They'll just give him credit for the 24 years. But as I was saying to Bob before we started, if you are the senior NCO in your unit and you've been training for deployment, and then right before you're supposed to leave, you quit and leave, slither off, then you've left the unit in a bad situation. And there was a letter written by two members of the unit pointing out, you know, how dishonorable and cowardly they felt that he was to leave them in the lurch like that. Now, this morning, as part of my emails, I get a daily email from military.com. And there wasn't an article about that in there, I don't think, but the first article that came up showed Walz walking with some military people, and it said, Walz has years of experience to help VA work on vet benefits.
Maybe not.
it just calls into question the bias of military.com.
The bias of the military, or the whole quote reporting organization.
Of course, the military doesn't criticize the government because of the budget.
No, because they're part of the budget. Yes,
a big part.
They're part of it. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi. I believe this past week also, she made the suggestion that that President Biden belonged on Mount Rushmore.
There was a meme of Mount Rushmore with President Biden facing the other way.
Yeah, I saw that.
But she made the statement legitimately. But
while we're talking about Waltz, if anybody wants to think back into the COVID things, the COVID lockdowns, he was notoriously evil during that process. He had what they called snitch lines, where people were to call or email the government to report people who were going out when they weren't supposed to be going out, and executive orders during that time that he renewed every 30 days, and propaganda about the efficacy of the V word, and just on and on.
But he was sending old people with COVID into nursing homes.
Correct. But the point that I'm trying to make is he's a socialist, even communist, and he is extremely progressive.
Did you know that Kamala's father is a Marxist?
Professor. I read that.
Professor, yeah.
But this guy went to China on his honeymoon, and I saw a video of his wife last night, and she's as left of center as he is.
And she's not Chinese.
No, she's not.
And so Bernie went there, too.
Bernie went to Russia.
Oh, yeah. Was it Russia?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was China.
Yeah,
I'm
he
sorry.
Went to Russia.
But this guy, Walls, has been to China apparently 20 times or so.
Well, he was a school teacher in China. He was a school teacher.
And they said that was the early time of trying to build these relationships to where we go there, but they come here, and when they come here, it's nefarious.
It's a whole different thing.
Spy and stuff. Yep.
Well, again, when we're dealing with China, of course, if you're going to do any business with China, you've got to reveal all of your patents, you've got to reveal all of your processes or whatever else, if you're doing any manufacturing over there. So they can steal them, yeah.
Here is a post that I found on Waltz where it indicates that he'd opened an office called New Americans, where illegal immigrants can find information on housing, food, and driver's licenses. By the way, these people are here illegally. They should have rights to none of that.
And he calls them New Americans.
And then the DMV automatically registers them to vote, and Minnesota does not require ID.
Wow.
16 and 17-year-old students get to pre-register to vote. We're in trouble, people.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
God and Country Christian Alliance's 31st annual God and Country Banquet is scheduled for Monday, September 16th at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center. Our keynote speaker is Mr. John Rustett of North Carolina Family Policy Council. Tickets are $30 each or $225 for a table of eight. Sponsorships are also available. Visit our website, godandcountrync.org, to purchase tickets. God and Country Christian Alliance's mission is to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern, to restore to all levels of government the Judeo-Christian values upon which the nation was founded, and to encourage and activate pro-family voters. To learn more about us, visit godandcountrync.org. We look forward to seeing you on September 16th. This year, we also have a silent auction. The doors will open at 5:30 p.m., with the program starting promptly at 6:30 p.m. Check us out at godandcountrync.org.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome again, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. I ask you to go and visit those supporters and just tell them thank you. Mary, where are we going?
I want to talk a little bit about the assassination attempt on President Trump on July 13th. Evidently, on Monday night, Senator Josh Hawley was on Jesse Waters' show, and some of the senators have been doing their own investigation into the assassination attempt because they feel like the committee is not really delving into things the way they should be. And evidently, a number of whistleblowers have been in contact with Senator Hawley, and he had some claims regarding the assassination attempt. And the first thing that he said was that the site agent, the lead agent, was known to the Trump campaign to be inexperienced and incompetent to do her job. She was not, on that day, she was not enforcing the normal security protocols. She was not checking people IDs. She was not using Secret Service agents. And most of the agents that day were Homeland Security agents. That's a little disturbing. Now, there were a number of Secret Service agents deployed over with Jill Biden. So maybe that was why the change. But this is looking incredibly incompetent to the point that makes you wonder if it was planned. I hate to say that.
I keep going there. It seems like there's too many connecting dots that make it seem like a conspiracy. Too many videos coming forth from the public that show time lapses and obvious person running on the roof of the building 3 or 4 minutes prior to the shooting with people in the audience pointing to it. So anybody, if you are a Secret Service agent and you are scanning the crowd in front of you looking for a potential threat and you see people pointing, don't you think you would naturally turn your head to look to see where they were pointing to?
And don't you think you would keep Trump in the car, although there was a car, he also had a car loaded with explosives, which may have been, if Trump doesn't come on stage, I'm going to set off the
car.
Who
is they? Who is they?
Crooks.
Crooks, the shooter.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we understand.
Had a car loaded with explosives.
It's not Trump didn't have a car full
right,
of
no.
explosives.
How would he have detonated?
I don't know.
He had a remote detonator. They found it next to him on top of the roof.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. I knew that he had explosives. I didn't know there was a way to detonate. Wow.
But again, he's probably watched too many movies. So.
Yeah. It was like a Radio Shack-looking thing. You know, it didn't look really spiffy.
And now, today, there's news coming out about his connections, supposedly, with Iran. But he's, like Bob said...
Financial connection, yeah.
Financial connection. He's supposedly an innocent 20-year-old. Nerd.
Introvert,
right?
Yeah.
Introvert, right. Mm-hmm. Someone had to teach him to shoot, too. I wonder if anyone's looked into his passport. Has anybody looked into his travel?
I don't think his travel would be as interesting as to find out who the person was that continually traveled between his home and somewhere near Washington, D.C., which was a story that came out in the beginning, but does not seem to have been particularly followed up on. Can we move on?
Sure.
Please.
I just want to breeze over this briefly, but 9 of the UNRWA, United Nations Relief Work Agency, staff members were possibly involved in the October 7th massacre in Israel, a UN report has found, and they filed they fired the workers.
They need to be in jail.
I would think so. I would put them in as terrorists.
Was there any detail given to what exactly they did to help in the attack?
No, but I know that numerous articles have come out that a number of the people who were working for UNRWA in Gaza had very strong connections to Hamas, because at least 75% of the people in Gaza support Hamas. So you would have had a hard time staffing your agency without hiring somebody that was at least sympathetic to Hamas. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I want to talk about illegal migrants into America. A new report from the House Judiciary Committee finds that at least 99 illegal migrants on the terror watch list have been released into America between 2021 and 2023. The report also found that the Border Patrol has encountered tens of thousands of migrants from countries that could present national security risks, including over 2,000 Afghan nationals, 33,000 Chinese nationals, over 500 Iranian nationals, over 500 Syrian nationals, and over 3,000 Uzbek nationals.
Well, how could that happen if we have a secure border? Didn't that border start to take care of all that?
I don't think so.
But wait a minute. So all of these folks, are they now on our welfare systems?
They
of course.
Are in Minnesota, based on what we're hearing.
In many states, they are.
The illegals on welfare?
I think they're all on welfare.
In New York, they're being given
debit
cards and all kinds of stuff.
Going back to the driver's licenses and insurance or whatever else. Where do these folks... Well, again, we remember when somebody, when coming into the country, had to either have a sponsorship from somebody willing to pay their bills, or they were living, able to finance their own way. We're not quite in that situation right now.
No, we're not. And this is not, unfortunately, unique to America. There was an article on Tuesday at the American Thinker, and 5% of the Syrian population is now in Germany.
Transplanted from Syria to Germany.
And 53% of them are on welfare.
Well, explain the Muslim religion taxing of the infidel.
That's the Zinja tax. And if you live in a Muslim country as an infidel, and for whatever reason they decide to let you keep your head, you have to pay a yearly tax. And it's not simply paying a tax. It's a whole ceremony where they mimic lopping off your head to remind you that they allowed you to keep it. And the tax may be as much as 50 to 70% of your overall net worth. It's not a trivial matter. So you have all these Muslims coming in and draining the treasuries of the countries on the welfare systems. I mean, New York is going bankrupt. New York has gone bankrupt before for different reasons. But this time, it's illegal immigrants. Massachusetts has reached the point where they're telling the illegals, we will pay for a plane ticket anywhere.
Well, it drives me nuts that this country, and it doesn't make any rational sense why this country is treating these people who broke the law to be here like they're like royalty, and we don't take care of our own homeless or our own veterans in need. We are courting these people who broke the law to be here, and Vice President Harris is even wanting to change the verbiage and not call them illegals because that might hurt their feelings. But they are illegal. They are breaking the law. They cost taxpayers' dollars. It's our tax dollars that pay for their education and all of the other social benefits that they get.
But the other side of that, not just that we have to pay for it, but it decreases the quality of the education for American children because it distracts them from teaching the main group of kids.
And also, as we mentioned when we were talking about Governor Walz, he wants free tuition, college tuition, for illegal immigrants. Well, how much do the American citizens who live in Minnesota pay for college?
And why aren't these same citizens angry about it?
We don't know that they're not.
Why are we not angry about it? I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. But so we have a medical system that supports, in theory, let's say in an area, whether it's New Bern or whatever else, a medical system that supports 150,000 people or something like that. And all of a sudden you add another 50,000 to that system, which really says instead of, you know, a doctor for X number of people, now all of a sudden you have 33% more people for each doctor, for each emergency room, for each nurse that's available. You essentially have deflated the medical care by making all of these people eligible for, I'm saying, free medical care. Where's the complaints?
Why aren't you guys talking about what is the Democrat motive for letting all these people in?
Voters. Exactly. Votes. Actually, ballots.
Future voters.
Future
is
voters.
Is it voters or ballots?
Both.
Future voters.
Well, it's not about voters anymore. It's about ballots. If you get the name of the illegal immigrant because they got a driver's license.
Yeah, but it's beyond that. It's voters, because she wants to give them amnesty. Then yeah. They're American citizens. They want a permanent Democrat base of Democrat voters.
That's true.
When they're standing at the border wearing a T-shirt that says, Biden, let me in, I don't think they're going to be voting for a Republican.
That's true.
But in the meantime, they're harvesting their names and filling out fake ballots before they have amnesty. And they're registering them, unfortunately, in many states.
Well, economically, this is not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable. And what was it, Cloward Piven?
Cloward Piven.
Yep.
They're just overwhelming the system so that there's...
Overwhelm the system so you can replace it with socialism.
Yeah, and there's no way to back out.
Yeah. Yes.
So where are we going from here? You're trying to make me
We're
take a break.
We're taking a break.
You're making me take a break. Folks, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Again, thank you for staying with us. We hope you're enjoying this wild conversation. Hang on for continued wild ride.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Again, welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Okay, we're going to put on a cloud.
We're going down a rabbit hole here.
I started it.
You did. About COVID and the fact that COVID really upended a lot of the things we took for granted. For instance, before COVID, how many people thought that you could close down the churches? Did anybody think that? How many people thought that you had to be head counted before you went into Walmart?
You would lose your job if you didn't get a shot.
Or you could go into a bank wearing a mask and gloves.
That's the best one, Pat. That's good.
But, I mean, how many things that we accepted during COVID that we would never have accepted under any other circumstances?
And it overwhelmed the system to the point that it impacted the election and how we collected votes, how we collected ballots. The laxing of the rules for an absentee ballot or signatures, the verification, signature verification that was required. The system was manipulated out of fear, and the fear was created. It was created intentionally.
And to your point, the total ignoring laws to go and do it efficiently from somebody's perspective to do it efficiently.
I mean, we saw the movie 2000 Mules, where they showed how ballot harvesting was being used in some places. And there were places during that election where 105% of the voters voted. Now, that's kind of an accomplishment. I mean, under normal circumstances, even in a presidential election, it's unusual to get 50% of the population to vote.
And the number of days after an election that they would accept ballots is valid.
Yes.
And there was just so many irregularities tied to COVID as the excuse. But the point with the overwhelming the system, with talking about the first part of the Cloward Pliven thing, this COVID is just an example of how easily manipulated we were and the freedoms that we had taken away from us. And then when we got some of those freedoms right or back, it was not everything that we had lost. And one of the things that really upset me was that businesses and people and churches specifically allowed it. And it, it frankly made me very upset when our church followed suit. Now, with the closing down of businesses as an individual, the government even told you who was considered an essential worker.
Which were essential businesses.
Yeah, the liquor store stayed open.
Churches didn't.
And the marijuana store stayed open.
But the beauty shop couldn't stay open, but the liquor store could.
And the marijuana shops.
Yeah.
And in California, you had the casino staying open and the churches closing. What does that say? One of the people who was a hero during the COVID thing was Keith Kidwell. because he was the one that went to the mat in terms of, no, the pastor is going to be allowed to visit your dying relative in the hospital. No, you are going to be allowed to visit your dying relative in the hospital. And he went to the mat. And the person who backed him up on that was Sheriff Hughes.
Right.
And they together were telling people, if you get, you know, if somebody tries to block you from seeing your relative that's dying, you call me.
But that was only in Craven.
That was in Craven. But he was, I mean, he was one of the people who stood up against it and said, we're not doing this.
Well, that brings us to another little rabbit hole, change of topic maybe. But we're talking about... Oh, that was interesting. But anyway, now I lost.
Folks, we're trying to compete with another one. Alexa is trying to butt into the conversations. go ahead, Kim.
I lost my train of thought after all that excitement.
We know it's a different rabbit hole.
The other thing that was interesting during COVID, and again, nobody's been held accountable for a lot of this. When we had governors putting elderly people with COVID into nursing homes. We had that in New York. We had that in Minnesota. We had that, I believe it was Pennsylvania.
And New Jersey.
New Jersey. It was a number of states where people essentially were, it was like a death warrant. And no one's been held accountable for that.
No, but they're looking for the next reason to shut stuff down. I saw an article about bird flu.
Oh, yes, I saw that too. The WHO is getting ready to declare an emergency, a medical emergency, because of bird flu.
Will we cooperate as a society?
Some of us will.
Depends on who's in office. If the Dems, because the WHO, there's a treaty or something that we're supposed to enter into where the
theory,
WHO
was struck down, I think, but it'll come up again.
Yeah, it'll come up again, and the WHO would be empowered to make those decisions for Americans outside of our government.
Override our sovereignty.
Yeah, we would lose our sovereignty.
Right, exactly.
Well, I remembered my rabbit hole. It was to go back to Title IX when we were talking about government control and the things that, the freedoms that we've lost. And the Title IX changes are to include the gender identity under the discrimination protections, which will allow boys in girls' bathrooms, sports teams, etc. And North Carolina is the only state in the South that has not joined in the lawsuit against the Biden Title IX changes. There are several lawsuits going on in other states, and these lawsuits have acquired an injunction that prohibits this law from taking effect in their states. In reality, it actually kind of nullifies it until it goes to court. But Josh Stein, who was running for governor of North Carolina, refused to join in on that. And I think that that's very important for our parents to understand, is your attorney general refused to represent the state. And he was requested to do so. He was requested to join in this lawsuit by...
I think the legislature.
I wasn't exactly sure of that, but I know by many people. But anyway, Keith Kidwell is working with several groups trying to get individual lawsuits so that counties can take care of them themselves. And Moms for Liberty is another place you can look. But if there are parents out there that are looking to join in Craven County, Havelock, I believe, does not have anybody representing, but get some parents involved in this lawsuit and try to stop it, or we're going to have it here. We're going to have it in our own schools. We're going to have the boys going into the girls' locker room. And I remember when I was 15, and I don't think I knew any boy who wouldn't, on a dare, change his sexual identity for a day. You know, this is fluid, right? So I'll be a girl today, and then I'll go back tomorrow. But in the meantime, and what about those other girls' rights? What about the 99.9% of the people who don't identify as trans anything?
Well, what is this going to do to girls' sports? I mean, we saw in the Olympics what happened in the boxing, where you had men competing against women, and it didn't go well for the women. what is this going to do? I mean, Title IX was to give girls sports, women's sports, high school and collegiate girls their space to compete and to do well. What is this going to do to that?
I think it'll ruin it if it's allowed.
Yeah, to wipe it out. Where are the feminists?
Where are the feminists?
Silent.
The silence is deafening, yes.
I mean, where were they when beating up a woman became an Olympic sport?
Huh.
This is not acceptable. And if you're a parent of a daughter who's athletically inclined and wants to be involved in sports, wake up quick, because you may not like what's coming down the pike.
Yeah, there was just a women's cycling championship, and all three placers were men.
Well, how about if I just say that my motorcycle identifies as a bicycle and I join the cycling race? I'm going to win.
But you know what? We identify, that makes us as weird. You know, we're weird. I think that's kind of weird. Strange, unexplainable.
Well, if you know, if you identify as a porcupine, why do I have to join your mental illness?
That's great.
Are you going to stick with that illness?
Oh.
Yeah, because we might hurt your feelings if we say you're prickly.
Did you hear what he did?
Yes, I did. But he's just indicating that you're prickly, Mary.
Oh.
With the porcupine.
But this is not good.
Well, where do scholarships go? I mean, we saw that with I'm going to say Riley Gaines has been.
The winners.
You're picking the winners? No, you're picking...
Yeah, the winner of the race gets the scholarship. They're men.
And they're men.
Women. Yeah.
And they get the women's scholarship, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Does that mean when they go to college, they join a sorority?
Well, that sorority has been suing.
That's already...
they have a transsexual in there, and they say he sits there and stares at them with a pillow in his lap. And if you see a picture of the sorority, this guy is like 6'7", 258 pounds, with the stupid long hair. And other than that, he looks like a big hulking guy. You imagine
totally out of place, yes.
Yeah, can you imagine him sitting there staring? He stares at the girls.
Ugh. That would be miserable.
With a pillow in his lap.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why.
Right.
He probably has a point to
be made. And not too many years ago, that person sitting there and staring, somebody would have come up and, pardon my French, but I can remember having a police officer just sort of smarten me up with a quick boot in my rear end and says, you don't need to do, now it wasn't that stare down, by the way, but, you know, I needed to smarten up and
When is it abuse?
Be more civil.
At what level is it abuse for the rest of those girls in that sorority?
The national level sorority made the decision to allow him to be a member, even though it wasn't in their rules. And they're refusing to back down. And it's already been to court once at one level, and the sorority girls lost.
Wow. Oh. It's almost like it's going to continue to get worse until the women involved in this just say, no, I'm not going to participate in that, until the women quit the teams and won't compete against these men.
Which has happened.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be right back. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We have Pat, you're going to take us in another rabbit hole.
Yeah. Segue.
The
only article I found to bring with me today is entitled, "With the World in Complete Chaos, Biden Focuses on Single-Use Utensil Ban." So I laughingly said, no sporks, but no plastic knife, fork, spoon.
Well, we've already eliminated plastic straws in certain states, and they've gone to a paper straw that won't last for as long as your
drink does.
Your drink gets kind of fuzzy toward the end. It's not very nice.
So the federal government's going after plastic.
Now, how is he doing this? How does he go about doing this?
Can I ask how he found this under the Constitution?
Yeah, where are sporks in the Constitution?
Once again, this is a federal agency making a rule. So it says, according to a General Services Administration rule finalized Thursday, products without any single-use plastic packaging on the federal government's purchasing system will soon be marked with a single icon. And that encourages federal agency buyers to phase it out, not to buy it. Yeah.
So then they're going to have to employ more people at all these establishments that use disposable implements, because now you're going to have dishwashers.
Yes.
I was just thinking, I was trying to think of some way to say thank you to the people at the Veterans Service Office that helped me work on my VA disability claim. And I thought, well, I'll take them a cake, from Publix, and some paper plates and napkins and some plastic forks.
Plastic forks and one or two knives. Yeah.
And a knife to cut the cake with.
You can't enter a government building with a knife.
And the way things are going, you may not be able to enter a government building with a plastic fork.
I know. I have a fork, and I'm not afraid to use it.
I guess the question is, now let's put on our Bojangle and Burger King or
what will it
McDonald's
do for takeout?
For takeout food.
Yeah. What will you do for takeout? You go to
you get a metal thing and you throw it away.
No.
The cost of the food would have to go up.
I'm gonna go with Massachusetts right now, folks. But we had the deposit on a bottle.
Oh, we did.
Okay, yeah. 5 cents on a bottle. And Maine, it was 10 cents on the bottle. So maybe we'll have returnable plastic silverware.
But not plastic.
Well, it'll have a little note on the bottom of the spoon that says 5 cents if you return it.
Or belongs to Bojangles.
Property of Bojangles. Or maybe we'll all go with chopsticks.
I could never figure out how to use chopsticks. I don't have that much coordination. But the world is on fire and he's worried about sporks.
Yep.
Well, maybe the getting rid of the laws that we talked about, I can never remember the name, where it was keeping the regulatory companies from making law without going through Congress.
The Chevron case.
Chevron. Maybe that could be effective here.
Yeah.
Because that's ridiculous. I mean, nowhere in the Constitution does it talk about silverware.
Well, some agency in their brilliance decided that plastic bags were better than paper bags, and look at the mess that we're in with the plastic bags now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I'll put on a Massachusetts hat. As we still have a daughter that lives up there. She buys her hot dogs, and it's wrapped in plastic, buys the sauerkraut wrapped in plastic, buys the bread that's wrapped in plastic, buys everything in plastic and plastic, but you can't get a plastic bag to carry all that stuff home in. So it's very selective enforcement. So
we're the government. We're here to help.
And the thing is, they have found out that the reusable shopping bags develop bacteria.
Yeah.
And you are not as safe using your reusable shopping bag as you would be with a disposable plastic bag. And a lot of people with their disposable plastic bags find a use for them. They make great waste paper basket liners, right. Kitty litter collectors, all right. Kinds of things. Right. I mean, they get recycled in the sense of being reused.
Yes, I have bags of bags at home waiting for the day that they make them illegal. I'll be all set. They'll be my my next form of barter.
And I think around this table, as we were growing up, I can remember having to use the Tip Top bread plastic bag inside of my boot in the wintertime to keep my feet dry.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that.
Me too.
You know what? We've gone off.
Wonder Bread, right?
Wonder Bread or Tip Top bread, yes. And we've gone off the deep end. One other thing. Last week, did we talk about the wind project off of Cape Cod?
And I don't know.
The failure we did about failure of the.
Well, the debris has spread. It has hit some more of Massachusetts. It has washed up on some of Rhode Island, other than Block Island,
and down to Connecticut.
And it is a mess because, again, the mussels and was it clams? No, it was scallops.
One of those things. They
oysters.
Will ingest
oysters and mussels. Who ingest it?
Ingest it, and they can't digest it. But we're going to eat those mussels, and
we're going to get that fiberglass into our systems, which is a poison.
Was this one windmill that failed?
It's more? One blade of one windmill. The blades are 385 feet long each. So the windmill itself reaches up approximately 900 feet, slightly under 900 feet. The windmill hub is up 500 something feet, I guess. And so the blade has to come down and clear the ground and clear up high. And generally I'm not the pilot, but the free flying territory is above 1,000 feet. So they're within essentially 100 feet of these blades.
How do the blades fare in a hurricane?
This wasn't even a storm.
Right.
This was just blade failure. So that's a very good question. The situation is getting worse. And I really think before we go any further with wind energy, we really need to look at what happened up there. Because it's a mess.
With the advances in nuclear energy, it makes zero sense that we're going after green energy when the nuclear energy would solve all those problems. And it's a lot safer now than when it was first developed.
And there's nothing wrong with natural gas.
No.
Natural gas is essentially green.
We have a friend up in Massachusetts, and Megan may be in Rhode Island.
She's in Rhode Island.
But she has worked. She's got her degrees and I think even a law degree in marine
biology,
marine law.
Marine law. And of course, she's been fighting this whole thing because the when they were putting in the footings for all of these windmills and they were doing the pile driving and whatever else, that was disorienting all of these whales that have died and washed up on shore. I mean, the numbers of whales that have died that have washed up on shore, and possibly same thing with sharks.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. And now the blades themselves, and her quick comment, and it's not meant to be a facetious comment, is that she's gone out, or she's got bunches of pictures from fishermen that are out there, commercial fishermen that are out there, that how do you fish when you see 3 or 4 foot pieces of fiberglass floating along? I mean, is this going to come up in your net, or is it going to tangle your net or whatever else? And is it going to get into your propeller? So it's hazardous to the boats. The boats are not supposed to go, recommended not to go over certain speeds in the area of this debris. And then, like I said, from the facetious perspective, she says she hasn't seen anybody from the wind project out there collecting all of their debris.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate.
But if it was an oil rig that was leaking, you bet your bottom dollar they'd all be out there.
And it would be on the news.
It would be on every day.
It'd be all over the front page.
On the news. I mean, you know, mainstream.
It made the county compass. Because I did an article, and I think there was another article on the front page.
I've seen it quite a bit on Facebook with pictures and articles on it. It's been...
Yeah. Megan is a friend of mine, and I share her stuff.
Okay.
So it's hazardous, and then we take this and we're going to bump it up against non-reusable plastic forks or whatever else. Which is the more important item?
And again, when they have planned these wind farms, we have hurricanes.
And all this.
Have they considered that?
And let's tie all this back in as we're getting ready to close the show to the economic impact on all of us. All of us have received City of New Bern electric bills recently, and they are higher and substantially higher, and the natural elements are less expensive than these government subsidized things, and we need to be energy independent again.
Yes, we do. That energy independence would be one way to help with inflation. The other way to help with inflation would be drastically cut government spending, which we need to do. And I hope I have time for this. One of Trump's things has been to cut the taxes on Social Security. There's an article up on Right Wing Granny, it's about a week old, where I looked at the budget deficit after they first taxed Social Security back in the 1980s and discovered that for 1 year it went down a little bit, and then they figured out, well, we got more money to spend and the deficit started going up. And then when they increased the amount of tax on Social Security in the 1990s, the deficit did go down, but that was because of the Newt Gingrich contract on America, not because of the Social Security. And I want to mention one more thing. When they said they were going to tax Social Security, they said they were, the limits they put on it would be the equivalent today of people, a couple making $95,000 a year. However, that limit has never been raised, and those taxes now hit anybody who makes $30,000 or $40,000 a year. So what they said was going to be a tax on the rich is a tax on everybody.
And I think the adjustment to that is going to be that just catch it up to where it should have been if it was done for inflation, I think is the intent. Thank you.
What else do we want to fit in? We got about another 15 seconds. Other than the fact that, folks, join us on August 20th at Stanley Hall Ballroom. Our guest speaker is going to be Chip Hughes at Stanley Hall Ballroom, 7 p.m., August 20th. Please join with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Again, thank you for staying with us.